Today's passage is taken from the book of James, chapter 2, verse 8 to 13.
今天的经节在雅各书第二章第八节。
James chapter 2, verse 8 to 13. I'll read in English. 看华语的你们可以看 PowerPoint. James chapter 2, verse 8. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you are showing favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Peace to you, brothers and sisters. Today's passage is a continuation on last week's topic on favoritism.
今天的信息呢是根据上个星期接下来的跟讲外表。
But however, I've intentionally covered favoritism fully last week.
但是呢，我上个星期故意把这个外貌这个主题讲完了。
So that today I may focus on a very specific passage in a specific issue in today's passage.
今天呢，我要特别注重在一个信息特定的信息上面。
And that is the issue of Christians and the law.
就是这个基督徒跟律法的关系。
Now I'm interested in going deeper into this passage because we Christians often have this uneasy relationship with the law, law with the big L.
我为什么会喜欢讲这个话题呢？是因为常常我们基督徒呢，跟这个律法中间常常有一些不舒服的关系。
Now, on one hand, we know that the law is undeniably one of the main big central themes of the Old Testament.
在一方面呢，我们知道这律法呢是在旧约的一个是一个旧约的中心。
So there is no avoiding such a prominent subject, you know, a subject that spans more than half of the Old Testament.
所以我们不可以避免呢，这个律法是占了整个圣经的一半。
The law that we worship, we also know, is known as the lawgiver. He is the lawgiver.
这个律法呢，事实上是从上帝而来的，我们也知道。
But on the other hand, matters of the law seems to have been superseded by what we call faith in Jesus Christ.
但是从另外一方面来讲呢，我们对于耶稣的信仰呢，也好像呢超越了律法。
So we see, for example, what Paul says in Galatians.
就好像保罗在加拉太书讲的。
He says, before the coming of this faith, we are held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come will be revealed.
但因这因信得救的理还未来以先，我们被看守在律法之下，只等到那将来的真理显明出来。
So the law was our guardian until.Christ came that we might be justified by faith.
这样，律法是我们训蒙的师父，引我们到基督那里，使我们因信称义。
Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian.
但这因信得救的理既然来到，我们就从此不在师父的手下了。
So we see that the words of Paul seems to have created this impression that, oh, law is now a thing of the past.
保罗的这番话好像让我们觉得律法已经过去了。
And since we know that yes, it used to be a really big deal.
我们知道这律法在过去是很重要的。
But now we can seemingly ignore all this now that we have what we call faith in Jesus Christ.
但是我们现在好像可以因着保罗这番话把它忽略掉了。
Yet I would say that we have to be extremely cautious here.
但是我们要特别的小心。
Because it will be foolhardy for us to dismiss such a major element of the religion so quickly.
我们如果把这个主要的信仰的元素忽略掉的话呢，我们就会有一点鲁莽。
Because we know that the importance of the law has continued to resonate with other New Testament writers, for example Matthew or in today's case James.
我们知道这个律法的重要呢，是一直到新约的马太、雅各里面一同在共鸣的。
Now we will see that even with Paul, the subject of the law never really fades away as we would think it will be.
在对保罗来讲呢，这个律法呢并没有消失。
And it would reappear in different forms as he writes in other letters or as he writes on even in Galatians.
反而呢，用不同的形式来出现，就好像在加拉太书所讲的。
So just now, for example, we have read Galatians 3, but we will come that and we will go on to read this in Galatians 5.
所以我们继续来看加拉太书第五章。
As we read on, we'll see that in Galatians 5, this is what he says: You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh; rather, serve one another humbly in love.
他所说的弟兄们，你们蒙召是要得自由，只是不可将你们的自由当作放纵情欲的机会，总要用爱心互相服侍。
And then we read on in verse 14, he says, For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbors as yourself.
我们继续读下去，因为全律法都包在爱人如己这一句话之内。
And in Romans 3, for example, we read that Paul will say, Do we then nullify the law by this faith? He says, Not at all.Rather, we uphold the law.
在罗马书第三章，保罗也提到，这样我们因信废了律法吗？断乎不是，更是坚固律法。
So we see that even for Paul himself, he continues to fulfill and uphold this law.
所以我们知道保罗呢，他是继续的来实践以及支持律法。
It's therefore not a so-called a straightforward case that oh, we can now ignore the law because now we have Jesus.
所以我们不可以直接呢就忘了律法，就因为我们有耶稣基督。
It is not that simple.
它不是那么的简单。
Instead, I think it would be wise for us today to study this issue much deeper.
今天呢，让我们来仔细来考虑这个问题。
So what exactly should be our attitude towards the law? That's the question I want to answer today.
所以我们对于律法的态度应该是怎么样子呢
？What exactly should be our attitude towards the law?
我们对于律法的态度应该如何？
Now to answer this question, to address this, I believe we need to have understand the historical transitions in the perspectives towards the law.
所以呢，为了解决这个问题呢，我们必须要了解律法在历史上被认同的变化。
We will begin first with the Jews themselves during the Old Testament times.
我们从旧约的犹太人开始。
Now as outsiders, we would think that oh, this law, there are so many of them, it would be a huge burden to these Jews, a huge burden that they have to bear.
身为圈外人呢，我们会认为这个律法在身上呢是很大的重担。
You think that oh, for them is this torturous shackle that restrict their life, restrict everything, even restricting how the society must behave.
就好像在他们身上的脚镣或是手铐一样呢，圈住了他们的生活还有社会的习俗。
Thou shalt eat this, thou shalt not do that.
你不可以吃这个或可以吃那个，你不可以做这个。
You shall do this at this time. You must do that at this specific day, and so on.
你只可以在某一天特定的时间做这件事情，你不可以做那件事情。
So the law appears to us, you know, as outsiders, as this long list of do's and don'ts, you know, and so on.
所以对犹太人来讲呢，这样的律法好像是一长列的可以做、不可以做的事情。
And so we will lament as this rigid and all these nitty-gritty rules, and we wonder how James can call it as the law that gives freedom.
所以我们对于我们觉得犹太人对这个律法呢，事实上是应该很觉得很可感悲哀的，因为他这么严格还繁细。但是呢，为什么雅各会叫他使人自由的律法呢
？That's an interesting question. Why does James calls it the law that gives freedom?
这是一个很有趣的问题，为什么雅各叫他使人自由的律法呢
？And not surprisingly, that is exactly how Jews do not perceive the law.
事实上呢，这并不是犹太人所认为的律法。
Instead, they enjoy and they cherish the law. It's the law that gives freedom to them.
他们事实上呢，很喜好而且很珍惜这个律法。
Witness how they sing about the beauty of the laws in the Psalms.
让我们看他们在诗篇当中呢，怎么样把律法的美唱出来。
He says the law of the Lord is perfect; it refreshes the soul. The statutes of the law is trustworthy; it makes wise the simple.
耶和华的律法全备，能苏醒人心；耶和华的法度确定，能使愚人有智慧。
The precepts of the law are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the law are radiant, giving light to the eyes.
耶和华的训词正直，能快活人的心；耶和华的命令清洁。人民聪人的眼目。
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous.
耶和华的道理洁净，存到永远。耶和华的典章真实，全然公义。
And then he says, they are more precious than gold, more precious than pure gold.
他们继续讲说，他们都比金子可羡慕，而且比极多的金金可羡慕。
They are sweeter than honey, sweeter than honey from the honeycomb.
比蜜甘甜，且比蜂房下地的蜜甘甜。
And there is even this psalm, Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Psalms.
在最长的诗篇呢，第119篇。
It is a 176 psalm, and all the psalms, the verses are primarily to worship and praise and say how wonderful the Lord is.
在这179节的经文里面呢，他们主要是在赞美律法的美好。
And all these, as we have read here, are words that are so graphic, so sweet, so good, so pure.
就好像我们所读的，在这里所读到的，它是这些字呢，是如此的栩栩如生。
And they are embarrassingly emotional strong. Say, oh, my precious Lord.
他们有一些呢，是很强烈的情绪化的表达。
So strong, even more embarrassing than a love poem.
就好像呢，比这个爱情的诗篇呢，还要。更情绪化。
You say, oh, Lord, you and Jews, oh, please get a room.
哈，你可能会认为说这个上帝跟犹太人呢，你们到一间房间去好了。
So we might wonder how something that is so controlling as the law be so cherished by the Jews.
所以我们会想说，为什么这样的律法呢是如此控制犹太人，但是他们是如此的珍惜呢
？I believe there are two factors.
我相信有两个原因。
The first is that the concept of laws, it may seem to be very restrictive, but well-constructed laws actually allow law-abiders to have more freedom to live.
律法这个概念呢，可能是在限制人的，但是一个完全建立，是一个完全考虑过的律法呢，事实上是可以使人更自由。
Now imagine a soccer match.
想象一个足球赛。
But it is a match without rules, without referee.
假如这个足球赛是没有法律，没有裁判。
How are you going to play this game properly?
你怎么去好好的玩这场球呢
？Anybody can use whatever methods they like to win the game. Even what it means to win the game, nobody knows.
任何人可以用任何的方法来赢这场球。
They can use their hands, but they can also use flamethrowers and chainsaws.
他们可以用手，他们也可以用喷火器或者是电锯。
We can see that.Such a game will quickly become very senseless.
我们会发现呢，这个游戏呢是没有意义的。
You can't play the game.
没有办法玩这场球赛。
And so all the nitty-gritty rules that we know about soccer, from the offside rules to the amount of extra time that is needed to be given, all these are important elements of the game.
我们所知道这些很详细的足球的细节，比如说这个越位啊，或者是延长时间，事实上是让这个球赛更有意思。
It allows the playing to become more enjoyable.
它让这个游戏呢更有趣。
And similarly, the laws allows the Jews to function, as rules of a very humane society.
相同的来讲呢，律法呢也使犹太人能够更建立一个人性化的。的社会，而且
it teaches them to respect one another，
帮助他们更尊重对方
，to take care of the poor and needy，
照顾贫穷人还需要的人
，and it often reminds them of the authority from above，
经常提醒他们从上头来的权利。
So we can see that in this perspective， the law allows the Jews to live life to the fullest。
我们可以知道呢，这样的律法呢，使得犹太人有一个完全的生活。
And it does so by providing them with considerateand well-defined boundaries for them to live.
他是用一个很详细界定的一个原则呢，让他们达到这样的目的。
And this is the first factor.
这是一个第一个原因。
And the second factor is that the law is cherished by the Jews because the law connects them to the lawgiver, connects them to God.
第二个原因呢是犹太人会珍惜这律法的原因，是因为这样的律法让他们和上帝完全连结。
So in everything that they do, whether they do or they abstain, they do it conscientiously and purposefully.
所以他们在做事情和不该做事情之间呢，他们做的，他们头脑是很清楚的。
And so everything they do, they think about it is intentional.
他们是故意去做或不做这些事情。
For example, if you say, "Oh, why are you eating this? You know, Or you might say, why are you eating char kway teow? Oh, because the chicken rice store is closed.
可能啊，你会问说啊，你为什么吃这个炒粿条呢？但是很事实上呢，这个啊鸡饭的这个店已经关了。
So I eat this, you know, you're not thinking about it. But you say, hey, why are you eating this kosher meat? They say, oh, it is kosher because God wants me to eat it this way.
所以从另外一个角度来看呢，你为什么吃这个东西呢？是因为啊，我很清楚上帝要我吃这个东西。
So everything that they do, eating, sleeping, whatever, it gives them a sense of meaning and identity to their life.
所以他们做的任何事情呢，给他们一个有一个生活上的意义，以及那个生命上的一个识别。
Now, if you think of it as, oh, I have to do this because God makes me do it, then of course every single obligations will be very painful.
如果你做一件事情是因为上帝要你做一件事情呢，你可能会觉得有一点痛苦。
But if you think of it as, oh, I see God cares about this, and I get to do something that God wants, something that God cares about, you can see that everything that you do now becomes a joy, it becomes an honor.
如果你做事情的心态呢，是上帝关心这件事情，所以啊，上帝要我来做这件事情的话呢，你会觉得啊，这是一个很喜乐的事情来做。
Now I have one or two Orthodox Jewish friends who I chat online regularly.
我有一些比较属于是传统的犹太朋友，我们经常在网上聊天。
And chatting with them, I get this sense that obeying the law is something that gives them great meaning in life.
我发现呢，遵循律法对他们来讲呢，是在他们的生活上给他们很大的意义。
As I have quoted earlier, you know, for us, a meal is a meal.
就好像我刚刚讲的，食物对我们来讲是食物。
But for them, each element of the meal, how they eat, what they eat.It is very meaningful and purposeful, and therefore everything that they do links them to God.
对他们来讲呢，这些食物的食材或是怎么吃呢，是有意义的，还有原因的。这把他们呢连回到了上帝。
And they are linked to God in this way as a people of God.
所以他们所认同的这个上帝的关系呢，是属于上帝的子民。
And this is why they themselves don't call it the law.
所以他们不认为这是一个律法。
Rather, they call it as words or instructions from God.
而是认为是一个上帝的话或是上帝的指示。
Because there is this person that is behind the law, it is not just rules and regulations.
因为在这个律法后面呢，是有一个有一位呢是在律法之上的。
And this is how they will relate to this lawgiver as a people. This is their identity as well.
所以他们自己就认同呢，他们是属于这个上帝的子民，这个施与律法的子民。
And from these two factors, you can understand why now the law is truly appreciated and enjoyed by the Jews.
所以你可以知道因为这两个原因，你可以知道呢，为什么犹太人特别喜欢还有遵行这个律法。
But such an attitude towards the law became even more pronounced after their years of exile.
这样对于法律的态度呢，事实上更被重视，就在于这个犹太人流亡之后。
At that time, their Davidic dynasty, their kingship has ended.
就在大卫王朝结束之后。
The temple was destroyed.
圣殿被摧毁了。
And the holy city is razed to the ground.
整个圣城被夷为平地。
And you can imagine without the king, without the temple, without the city.Religious practices have to change radically.
所以你可以知道，没有了皇帝，没有了圣殿，没有了圣城，他们所信仰的方法必须要很大的改变。
Therefore, as a narrative, what is the story of Israel? Judaism changed from a focus on all these religious leaders or major characters into the solidarity of a community. Who are we as a people?
所以犹太的这个信仰很从一个王室领导的一个信仰角度，变成了为一个争取身份以及团结的群体。
And in terms of piety, what it means to be pious, Judaism changed from a cultic religion that is based on sacrifices in the temple, it becomes now a life-based religion based on daily practices and daily living.
从敬拜的角度来看的话，这个圣殿祭祀的这个食材呢，或是仪式呢？已经变到了每日所应该遵循的信仰。
And the center of authority is no longer based on a holy city or a holy building.
这个权力的核心呢，已经不是这个圣城的建筑或是城市。
But rather it is now on the holiness of the written word.
而是上帝所赐的神圣的道。
And so all these shifts channeled religious fervor towards one thing, knowing the word and living it out literally.
所以这样子的宗教的改革呢，把这个对宗教的信仰转移，从这个律法以及律法的实行转移到对于怎么去活出律法，还有执行律法。
And therefore, such an obsession on the law also gave rise to the Pharisees.
这样对于法律的执着呢，也产生了许多的法利赛人。
They are the leaders from the common people, and they are respected because of their skilled interpretations of the law.
他们呢，就是因为很会讲解律法呢，而被尊敬的一群领袖。
And it is at this juncture that Jesus enters into the scene.
就在这个时候，耶稣出现了。
Now, like the Pharisees, Jesus was also called a rabbi, which means that he is recognized as a teacher of the law.
就像法利赛人，耶稣基督被叫做拉比，就是说呢，他是公认的是律法的一个讲师。
How would Jesus, what is Jesus' perspective of the law?
耶稣对于律法的角度是怎么呢？
On one hand, he is serious about every single law, just like the Pharisees.
在一方面呢，他对于律法是很严肃的。
In Matthew 5, he says, Jesus says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them."
在马太福音第五章所讲到的，莫想我来是要废掉律法和先知，我来不是要废掉，是要成全。
For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished.
我实在告诉你们，就是天地都废去了，律法的一点一划也不能废去，都要成全。
Therefore, anyone who sets aside even one of the least of these commands and teaches them accordingly will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
所以无论何人废掉这诫命中最小的一条，又教训人这样做，他在天国要称为最小的。但无论何人遵行这诫命，又遵行人遵行，又教训人遵行，他在天国要称为大的。
This is why I preach and teach these commands.
这就是我为什么要教你们这句话。
Now on the other hand, unlike the Pharisees who try to obey these laws in a very legalistic and exhaustive way.
在另外一方面呢，并不像那些法律赛人想要用法律性的问题来法律性的角度来解决这个律法。
Jesus had a new way to and a very interesting way to fulfill the law.
耶稣基督用了一个新的很有趣的方式。
He does this by fulfilling it in a very holistic manner.
他用一个全面性的角度来满足这样的律法。
So very ironically, the way in which you are serious about every single law is to summarize them into two great laws.
相反的，他用很简单的两条大法律呢来总结这样的法律。
So if you want to fulfill every single law, well, Jesus say, fulfill the two laws.
你如果要实现这所有的律法呢，就只要遵行这两条。
And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
所以耶稣说你要尽心尽性尽意爱主你的上帝。
This is the first and greatest commandment.
这是诫命中第一而且是最大的。
And the second is like it to love your neighbor as yourself.
其次也相仿就是要爱人如己。
And then he says, all the law and the prophets will hang on these two commandments.
他继续说这两条诫命呢是律法和先知一切道理的总纲。
Now, how Jesus interprets the law will be of tremendous implications to us.
耶稣基督怎么样去解释这个律法呢？是对我们很大的关系。
Although there were other religious leaders, to be fair, they also there were many others who also interpret the law in this way to summarize it into these two.
有一些信仰上的教师或律法师呢，他们也是用类似的方法来总结这些律法。
But Jesus gave it his definitive ruling on this matter.Because he's able to install a new covenant with his followers with his blood.
但是耶稣基督用他的方式来总结的总结呢，就是用他的血与门徒来立约。
It is a new covenant whereby the law will be fulfilled in our hearts.
它是一个新的约呢，让律法成全在我们心中。
Now how is Jesus able to do this? He did this by fulfilling the prophecy of Jeremiah.
他是啊呃借着呢实现先知耶利米的预言来做这样的事情。
And so it's very important for us now to read this prophecy from Jeremiah.
所以让我们来看耶利米书里面所说到的。
It's Jeremiah chapter 31. He says, "The days are coming," declared the Lord, "when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah."
在耶利米书第三十一章所讲到，耶和华说：“日子将到，我要与以色列家和犹太家另立新约。”
And verse 33, this is important. He says, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time," declares the Lord.
第三十三节所讲到，耶和华说：“那些日子以后，我与以色列家所立的约乃是这样。”
I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts.
我要将我的律法放在他们里面，写在他们心上。
I will be their God and they will be my people.
我要做他们的上帝，他们要做我的子民。
And all this new covenant, it has been accomplished by Jesus through His blood.
这样子的新的立约呢，事实上呢是借着耶稣的血来实现的。
And we are reminded of this every time we have the Holy Communion.
所以每次我们在进行圣餐的时候呢，我们经常会回忆到这段话。
Now after surveying through this whole evolution of perspectives towards the law.
在观察了这些对于律法的看法的演变之后
，from the Jews of the ancient times until Jesus time，
从古代犹太人、犹太人一直到耶稣
，I believe that we are better equipped now to address this main question。
我相信我们比较懂得如何去回答这个问题了。
What exactly should be our attitude towards the law？
我们对于律法的态度应该如何
？Now, like the Jews, we must also honor and cherish the law。
就好像犹太人所一样，我们必须要遵守以及珍惜这个律法。
Because we believe that this law connects us to the lawgiver.
因为我们相信呢，这个律法呢，使我们和设立这个律法的人相结合。
And we believe that our lives will be enriched when we live out God's will freely in our hearts.
而且我们相信，当我们很自由的活出上帝的律法的时候呢，我们的生命是更丰盛的。
However, we are also followers of Jesus.
而且我们也是耶稣的门徒。
And therefore, our interpretation of the law is now authoritatively defined as the commandments to love God and as the commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves.
所以我们对律法的解释呢，事实上就是像耶稣所说的，最大的两条，第一条是爱人，第二条是爱邻舍。
And this is why we see that in today's passage,James concludes on the matter of favoritism in a very direct and straightforward manner.
所以这就是为什么我们看到今天在雅各书所提到，他对于这个喜好的解释呢是这样子的。
For James, it is very straightforward. You are supposed to love your neighbors as yourself. If you do that, then you will be living very righteously.
对于雅各来讲呢，他是很直接的。你就是应该要爱邻舍如自己。你这样子的话呢，就是很公义的活着。
However, when you disdain the poor and you honor the rich unfairly, that is not love.
如果你轻视穷人，或者是你尊敬有钱人的话，那你就是这不是爱了。
And when you do that, you have broken the essence of the law.
如果做这样子的时候呢，你已经打破了这个律法的本质。
Sometimes a church member asks me.
有时候弟兄姐妹们会问我
，He says, "Oh, we know. Often when we read the Old Testament, we have all these laws. What shall we do with all that, all of these?"
我们看了旧约里面那么多的律法，我们该怎么去做呢
？Now, if I may sum up the one take-home message for today,
我如果可以做一个今天的总结
，It will be this.
会这样子讲
，Fulfill the law.
遵行律法。
But as a follower of Jesus, fulfill the law by loving God and loving your fellow man.
成为基督的门徒，以爱神及爱人来实行律法。
Now, in trying to fulfill the law, you may begin to wonder about one key issue.
在实行律法同时，你可能会有一个问题。
Are we going back to legalism now?
我们回去到严格的遵行律法吗
？What about grace and mercy?
那恩典跟怜悯该怎么做呢
？James talks about this in verse 13, saying, "Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment."
雅各呢讲到在第三节里讲到这个，那不怜悯人的也要受怜受无怜悯的审判，怜悯原是向审判夸胜。
Now the concept of mercy may seem to be a contradiction to the concept of law.
这个怜悯的概念呢，事实上可能和律法的概念互相矛盾。
If God is merciful, then how can He be judging without mercy?
就好像说如果上帝是怜悯的，他怎么能够做没有怜悯的审判呢？
Conversely, if God is indeed serious about law abiding.
相反来讲，如果上帝是对于这个遵守律法很重要的话
，Then why does James says, "Oh, it is mercy that will triumph over judgment"?
为什么雅各会说怜悯原是向审判夸胜呢
？Because if you do that, then wouldn't everybody just rely on God's mercy and disregard the law?
如果我们这样子做的话呢，这样所有的人都只要靠神的怜悯而不用管律法了。
So on the surface, yes, we see that mercy and law they seems to be contradictory.
表面上来讲，我们看到律法和怜悯呢，好像是相反的。
However, there's one way to resolve this conflict.
但是呢，实际上是有一个方法来解决这样的问题。
It is resolved when the law itself is a law to be merciful and loving.
当律法本身就是爱和怜悯的时候，这个问题呢是消失了。
It is resolved when the law itself is a law to be loving, is a law to be merciful.
当律法本身呢就是爱以及怜悯的时候呢，这个问题就消失了。
And therefore we see this in Matthew chapter 7 verse 2.
所以我们看到在马太福音第七章所讲到的。
We see the same reasoning. He says, "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you."
他说到，你们怎样论断人，也必怎样被论断；你们用什么量器量给人，也必用什么量器量给你们。
So God is consistent in His fairness. If you want to talk about fairness,
所以我们可以知道上帝一直都是公平的。
And He can be consistent also in exercising His mercy and grace.
他也一直都在施予他的怜悯和恩典。
Because if we follow the law to be loving and to be merciful,
如果我们一直遵循这个爱人和爱神的方怜悯人的
律法。Then God can be fair in being merciful and kind to us because, well, that's what we did.
所以呢，上帝也一样对我们呢是怜悯的。
However, if the law that we disobey is the law to be loving and merciful,
而且呢，相对来说，如果这个我们不怜悯人或是不爱别人的话
，then God can be equally fair to be unloving and to be unmerciful to us because that is what we deserve.
上帝也会同样的对我们来不怜悯我们，因为这是我们所应得的。
Now it may seem like legalism when we say that, oh, now we want to fulfill the law.
所以当我们讲到要遵行律法的时候呢，好像就变成了一个条约一样。
But it is not because the law that we are trying to fulfill here is the law of mercy, grace, and love.
但是呢，事实上我们用这个怜悯恩典。爱的律法来讲的话呢，事实上已经不是这样子严格的法律了。
Because when we are loving and merciful, we are not fulfilling this law in order that will become our justification.
因为呢，我们用爱人和怜悯人呢，的方式来遵循律法的时候呢，我们就不用来解释这样的律法了。
Because we act in grace so that God can be gracious to us.
因为我们是这样子的施恩于别人，所以上帝也会施恩于我们。
Now I wish to end our reflection on this Christians and law on a more practical note.
我要在最后呢，我要用对于这个基督徒和律法的这个题目呢，我来做一个很实际的总结。
Now it should be very clear to us that oh, law, love is the way for us to fulfill the law.
我们现在应该很清楚呢，爱事实上是成全律法的方式。
But we may ask then what is love?
我们接着会问，那爱是什么呢？
We are taught to love our neighbors as ourselves.
我们被教导就要爱人如己。
Actually, this commandment is very similar to the golden rule to do unto others what you have others to do unto you.
事实上，这个律法本身呢是很像我们所常听到的“己所不欲，勿施于人”。
No, more positive. what 你要人家怎么样对待你，你就要怎么样对待人。Now, it would seems like common sense to us.
对我们来讲好像常识一样。
Oh yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. How I want others to treat me, I will do likewise. Yes, yes, no problem.
我要别人怎么样待我，我要怎样待别人。
But you'll be surprised how often we neglect this basic common sense.
但是你会很惊讶的，我们常常会忽略这样的问题。
We often get upset when we are criticized.
我们经常呢，被批评的时候会觉得不舒服。
Yet we can be so critical of other people.
但是同样的，我们可以批评别人。
We want to be heard, or I want to be listened, I want to be understood.
我们要别人听我们，我们要别人了解我们。
Yet how often do we listen and try to understand others?
有多少时候我们会听别人，或是了解别人
？We say, oh, we want more warmth in this community.
我们说我们要在这个社群里面呢，要有更多的温暖。
Yet we ourselves choose to stay aloof.
但是呢，我们却不喜欢接近这个社群。
We want others to sing our songs, or my songs are the best.
我们喜欢别人来唱我们的歌。
Yet we are biased when other people want us to sing their songs.
但是呢，我们会不喜欢唱别人的歌。
In this way, how can we as a community ever be singing in harmony?
我们要如果我们这样做的话，我们如何和别人一起和谐的唱歌呢？
So in the end, if you want to ask the question, what is love?
最后呢，如果你要问爱是什么？
It has a simple answer.
有一个很简单的回答。
Just think, what is the thing that you want others to do to you?
只要想说你要别人怎么样对待你
？Well, you do that first.
先做这件事情。
Many of us wants to be understood.
许多人呢，我们要很想被了解。
Then learn to understand others.
学习去了解别人。
That is love.
那就是爱。
Many of us wants to be appreciated.
许多人呢，很希望被感谢。
Well, appreciate others.
学习先感谢别人。
That is love.
那就是爱。
Now many of us wants love.
许多人需要爱。
I think deep down inside, you know what it means to love.
我想在每个人心中呢，你知道什么是爱。
Let's pray.
我们一起祷告。
Let's spend some time before the Lord. Reflect on the words. To fulfill the law with love.Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you because you are the lawgiver. You have spoken your will to us from the times of the Jews to sending your Son Jesus Christ to us to show us what is love. Lord, teach us to be this Christ-like community, to be Christ to one another.So that we may live this righteous life. And all this we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 让我们以